Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Anyway, happy Father's Day and the Lord bless you. And everything has been said and sung so far that basically this sermon is a reminder of what we've received so far today. And I just love that. And I love when this happens. So praise the Lord. As you know, we're in our Ascending Into series. The Lord wants to take us all higher in Him and to become more and more like Him. And today I have the privilege, if you haven't guessed already, about talking about ascending in compassion. Who would have thought that when we were compiling this series, who would have thought when the Lord was putting these words and these topics in our hearts, that to come in on a time when Ireland has just been embarrassing itself and absolutely just acting ridiculously, it just makes the timing of this so much more important. And we've seen in Ballymena just throughout the week, we've seen in Larne, because of a rumor about something that had happened where someone from another nation had perpetrated a wrong on a local young person, which is completely wrong and completely evil. We're not, you know, we call wrong, wrong and evil, evil. Amen. But then all of these people taking the opportunity to absolutely berate and put fear in people that the Lord has blessed this island with from other nations. The absolute horror of that has been ridiculous in a so-called Christian nation. If ever we needed reminding of compassion, it's today. It's not so long ago that there was a lunatic who damaged and did a lot of damage on some children coming from school just at the top of O'Connell Street. And it was wrong and it was evil. But then the way different people took it upon themselves to go after different foreign nationals who come to Ireland and to again curse at them and to say things against them and to make them feel fearful, that is not compassion. And that is not a Christian island expressing itself. And so in Jesus' name, I thank God for the opportunity to once again speak to my heart and to your heart to remind us what this Christianity is all about. Amen. And we need it, if ever we needed it. We're looking at mighty nations who are applying Christianity to a politics that is filled with hatred. And we need to remind ourselves that we are called to be a loving people. Amen. Isn't that what we are called to be? We are not called to be people who stir up violence, who stir up aggression, who stir up anything other than the word of God, the love of God. Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he came full of grace and truth. He came full of grace and truth. And this is the Savior that we follow, or we don't follow, then he's not our Savior. So this is the Savior that we follow. And Lord, what a privilege today to speak about your compassion. Compassion comes from the Latin word compati, and it means to suffer with. It means fellow feeling. Fellow feeling implies the understanding of empathy and sympathy. Compassion, though, is so much more than feelings and so much more than empathy and sympathy. It signifies a deep awareness of another's suffering, coupled with a desire to alleviate it, to take it from them, to lift it from their experience. Compassion is a deep understanding of another's pain and a desire to help ease suffering. It often involves a desire to even share in the experience of what the person is going through and a commitment to action. Compassion is nearly like having a sense that you want to suffer with the person in trouble. You want to get in the pit with them to help them, but also help them out of the pit. You want to carry and bear their burdens. Don't all of these things I'm saying sound like the Bible? Don't they sound like what Jesus said to us, what he implored us to be like, what he said for us to do? Compassion is more than empathy and sympathy, because a lot of times empathy and sympathy are kind of feelings. They are cognitive processes. But the Lord calls his people to so much more than feeling, sorry. He calls us to action. And that is compassion, the feeling and the acting, the words, all of the whole package being an expression of the kingdom of God towards the downtrodden. We're going to be turning in a moment to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at from verse 25. And it's a very, very, very famous story. For those of us who've ever had any connection with church, I know that you will have heard this story. Even people who have never been to church will have accessed this story in some guise or another through the years. We're going to meet a man, and he's a Samaritan man. And there's significance to that. And let me just explain this so there's some context. In 721 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians. And many of the people of Israel were led off to Assyria as captives. But some remained in Assyria and they intermarried with foreigners. And they were planted there and they stayed there. And these half-Jewish, half-Gentile people became known as the Samaritans. They became highly hated by the pure Jews, so to speak. They knew something of the law, but they were not accepted as genuine worshippers like the Jews were as they worshipped the God of Israel. Samaritans faced discrimination from Judeans who viewed them as outcasts due to their differing religious practices and worshipping outside of Jerusalem. So it's fair to say that the Samaritan is going to represent the hated race. The Samaritan is going to represent the race of, get out of our land, you're taking our jobs, get away from me, we hate you, you don't even worship the true God. Does that sound familiar in 2025 Ireland? Is there any connections here? And then we're going to be introduced to a priest and we're going to be introduced to a Levite. You might be a bit confused and kind of say, what's the difference between a priest and a Levite? Aren't they the same? Well, the priest was kind of higher up than the Levite. The priest performed sacrifice, led worship, interceded on behalf of the people, and his work was centralized in the temple in Jerusalem. The Levite kind of served the priests. The Levites were members of the tribe of Levi. They served as temple assistants. They did tasks such as guarding the temple gates and maintaining sacred objects. There's going to be an irony in this. Maintaining sacred objects. You know what's so much more important than sacred objects? Sacred people. Amen. Just bear that in mind as we go through this now. And we're in Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, verse 25, an expert, no less, in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But your man, the expert, he wanted to justify himself. He wasn't really interested in doing it. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Other translations say he felt compassion for him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, and he says to us, go and do likewise. Lord, thank you for your word in Jesus' name. We totally understand and we have this biblical training and teaching that Jesus is, the Lord is the King of compassion. He is the good shepherd. He doesn't just care for and tend after his sheep. He knows his sheep by name and he goes down into every pit and every ditch in order to get his sheep out of their trouble. Truly, our God is the good Samaritan. Jesus came. He saw us because we were bruised by sin. We were dead to the world. We were left for dead by the world. Others passed us by. They were full of advice. They were full of spouting religious comments and law, and they were full of moralism. If only you improved yourself and got out of that pit. But Jesus came near, and Jesus got into the pit, and Jesus got up on that cross, and Jesus died an horrific death, and he did everything that was necessary for us to feel loved and cared for, and so that our wounds could be healed. He poured in the oil. What does the oil stand for? The Holy Spirit. He poured in the wine. What does the wine signify? The blood of the Lamb. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Do you remember that old song that we used to sing back in the day? He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restoreth my soul. He saw me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. This is our God. And he comes upon us and he says, whatever it costs, I will pay it. And this is the heart of the Samaritan. Whatever it costs, I will pay it. He is the one who shows us what love looks like. He is the one who, praise the Lord, loves not from a safe distance, but he gets close and personal, because compassionate love is sacrificial. Compassionate love is scandalous. It's right now, this sermon is annoying the religious. Amen. Right now, this sermon with regards to loving the tribes that might even have hatred towards us, we're called to love our enemies. We're called to pray for that. This is Christianity. We're called to pray for those who persecute us. Isn't this in our Bibles? This is what we're called to. And we then, in our flesh, we say, Lord, my flesh will fail. And I feel anger and hatred rising up within me. But Lord says, but I've given you my spirit. I've given you my spirit. So you rely on me. You lean into me and my spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ, who loved to the end and forever, is in you and is in me. And Lord, thank you for that spirit. Because so many times there's people that we'd love to throttle, but that's not what we're called to do or to be. We're called to be people who love and care and serve. That's what sets us apart as a faith. We know that we love because he first loved us. But we also know that we can be compassionate and merciful because he's been compassionate and merciful to us. And we're made in the image of the God of compassion, as Daniel was reminding us as he led the service. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Slow to anger. Rich in love. Slow to anger. My gosh, how many milliseconds does it take a Christian to become a Facebook warrior? Slow to anger. Rich in love. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Doesn't all mean everyone? The Lord is good to all. And he has compassion on all he has made. There it is again. Lord, you're wrecking my head. I thought you were going to be just loving and compassionate to me because I'm such a good Christian. And then everyone else, like, you know, they have to suffer. No, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who fear him. For he knows that we are formed, and he knows that we are just dust. Lord, thank you for your care of this bag of dust. We love you. There are attributes to this compassion, and we're going to look at them one at a time, and then we're going to close. And the first attribute of compassion that we want to look at today is concern. And we're talking about true concern. Oh, it's so easy to sound concerned. Oh, it's so easy to sound concerned. The expert in the law is sounding concerned. He sounds concerned with regards to what is the best way to inherit eternal life. Because in essence, he already believes that he has eternal life. He's an expert in the law. Do you want my credentials, God? I'm an expert in the law. So he already believes that he's inheriting eternal life. He is testing Jesus. And he wants to sound concerned about inheriting eternal life. I wonder what this man has to say about inheriting eternal life. He wants to sound concerned through his knowledge of spouting scripture and how sad it is to be a religious person that knows scripture but does not know the heart of Christ. One of the saddest mixes in all of eternity, to know scripture and not know the heart of Christ. The expert represents the ones who love to sound spiritual and love to sound concerned, but they're empty vessels. They love to puff out their chest. They love to get online and get going at people. God deliver us. The priest and the Levite represent the religious that completely miss the point. And they walk by unconcerned. So we have two aspects here. We have the religious offering lip service, and we have the other religious offering no service. And Jesus is trying to bring us back to having a heart of concern. This is embodied in the Samaritan, the hated one, the one that they castigate and they abuse. The Samaritan represents the heart of God, and he's concerned, and he's compassionate, and he's merciful. You see, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. But God looks at the heart. The expert comes flexing his intellectual muscles to Jesus. He's going to test Jesus. Of course he's going to test Jesus. He's such a learned man. He knows and speaks with his head knowledge. And he says to Jesus that to inherit life, one must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. The expert quotes what is written in the word, what is written in the law, but the expert doesn't get that the law is pointing to love. And the law is encouraging compassionate action. You see, it's not enough to know the right answers. As a Christian, we're called to be the right answer. As Christians, we're called to be the right response. It's interesting that when there's a travesty, when there's an accident, and only the other day around the corner from us, a tragedy happened in Lucan where a 19-year-old was killed in an accident. And the people that are called out are always called the first responders. Wouldn't it be fantastic if Christians were called the first responders? This was going on, that was going on, these people were hurting, that person had a lack, there was such need there, that person was tormented. Who turned up? Well, the first responders were the followers of Christ. The priest and the Levite had headfuls of scripture. They could quote scripture till the cows come home, but they had empty hearts. The scripture had invaded their head, but had not invaded their hearts. The word always comes as Jesus came. And remember, Jesus was the living word. You see, the word became flesh. And as one translation says, and moved into the neighborhood. What neighborhood are we in where we are the word that is flesh to people? In our dealings with them, in our loving, in our caring, in our desire to be good neighbors, that the word and the flesh are nearly of one essence. The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And we already said that Jesus came full of grace and truth, and we are the same followers of that Christ. So that the listeners don't miss the point and they understand where Jesus is coming from, Jesus defines what a neighbor is. People are used to understanding that a neighbor is someone who you live in proximity to, that maybe lives next door. That's a neighbor. So we're good. We haven't had any shouting matches last year. I must be a Christian. So that's the neighbor to the left or to the right of us. Or maybe one is a neighbor by ethnicity. So the tribe that we come from, they're my real neighbors. The rest, a bit questionable, but my ethnicity, my tribe, that is my neighbor. But Jesus defines a neighbor as someone who is concerned and compassionate. And basically, Jesus is trying to get into our heads that anyone on planet Earth who's breathing right now is our neighbor. Amen. So if there's someone on the bus, if there's someone in Lidl, if there's someone, praise the Lord, walking in the park, that's my neighbor. If there's someone on the news, if there's someone that's throwing a stone in one of the great news entries of the week, if there's something, God, that person is my neighbor. According to this, guys, praise the Lord. It's a narrow path. Amen. Let's be wise with regards to what we're hearing and what we're receiving. And let's take the challenge. Lord, we need you. And that's why we need you, because this is so against our human nature. All of this is against our human nature, Lord. We want to protect and fight and keep and kick. But Lord, you're telling us to love and to serve and to bless. And it's hard, Lord, in this world. The true question is not, who is my neighbor? Jesus gets all believers to ask, to whom can I be a neighbor? The despised Samaritan, not the religious experts, not the religious leaders, embodies the true concern. The despised one, which again is a type of Messiah, the despised one becomes the one that's the most loving. Here Jesus points to the heart of the matter. Jesus upsets societal expectations and he confronts religious elitism. The religious saw the problem and they passed by. The Samaritan saw the person and drew near. The Samaritan saw the person and drew near. The Samaritan saw the person. If you're one of those religious, law-loving people that loves to point the finger at everyone but you, I pray in Jesus' name that your heart is arrested with the love of Jesus Christ today. I thank God for your knowledge of Scripture and I pray it increases in you, but I pray in Jesus' name that the Scripture can go from your head to your heart. And I pray in Jesus' name that there will be a softness in you, because the Lord came and he took away our heart of stone and he gave us a heart of flesh. And so if you've got a stony heart and you're full of law, you are a dangerous weapon. You are a dangerous weapon. You're just going to be fired nonstop. But if you have a soft heart and if you have a loving compassion and if you seek to represent Jesus and his kingdom, well, then now we're talking. Religion, as we see on the news every day, religion is not a good neighbor. Religions are beating the life out of each other. Religion is not a good neighbor. Religion has never been a good neighbor. Relationship with Jesus is where the good neighbor kicks in. Relationship from a grateful soul, a person loved by God in relationship with the Father, saved by grace, who was once in a pit and needed compassion themselves, full of mercy, with a life marked by the forgiveness won for them by Jesus on the cross. These grateful, ever grateful and blessed souls, these people who recognize that compassion and mercy was shown to them and they receive it and they believe it and they live in it and they embody it. These are the people who will be good neighbors. But because when you're in love, hallelujah, you're a great neighbor. But when you're in law, you might be a great talker. You might be a great debater. You might be a great arguer. You might be a great fighter. You might be a great Facebook critic. But you're not a great neighbor. And we need more great neighbors in this world of ours that's in big trouble. The second thing that we see is the call to care. It's a Samaritan despised by Jews who responds with deep compassion, going to extravagant lengths to show that he cares. Of all the people in this story, he didn't have to show he cared, because there was such of a disconnect between the two cultures, between the Jews and the Samaritans. Of all the people in this story, he was the one who had the right, dare I say, to care the least. But God is pointing us to a kingdom of God type of caring from the scripture and from the words that were used in scripture. And for you to do a bit of study when you go home on this passage in Luke 10, when it says he felt compassion or he took pity on him, this is like such a visceral term. It's like it's rooted in the gut. The Samaritan didn't just pity, he was moved in his innermost being. And I know that there's brothers and sisters in this place. And what you're experiencing these days, as we look at the news and as fear tries to come in and anger tries to come in, I know there's people in this place and you are sick in the pit of your stomach and you want to do something about it. That's the Holy Spirit in you. That's the Holy Spirit in you. That in your gut, which is like this scriptural understanding of the depths of our heart, in our gut. That, Lord, I need to do something. I need to make a difference. This world is going crazy. It says he bandaged his wounds. Do you know what that literally means? When again, please study these words yourself. Go to study the commands of God, the scriptures yourselves. He bandaged his wounds could also have been rendered. He laid hands on him. And here we are, the mighty Pentecostals. And we would sooner pick up a stone to throw at someone than to lay hands on them and bless them and bandage their wounds. He put the man on his donkey, and this highlights personal sacrifice, his own beast at his own cost, his own time. And he brought him to an inn. And the word used for inn is pandekamai, which means a place that receives all. A place that receives all. And here Jesus is prophesying about what his church is going to look like. Here Jesus is laying the foundation for his community. A place that receives all. Because God, his Father, is compassionate on all he has made. Do we care? And if we do we care with extravagance in our hearts? This Jesus that we call our Savior and Lord, he was the one who called us to go the extra mile. Sean, that's no problem. I go the extra mile with my family. Jesus, when he talked about going the extra mile, was talking about the way we relate to our enemies. We know that Jesus is the expert carer. We've already seen he's the good shepherd. But we also know that he cared extravagantly. He cared enough to come down to us. He cared enough to leave the comfort of heaven. He cared enough to leave his position. He cared enough to leave security. He cared enough to leave peace and serenity. He came down because he saw we were beaten and bruised and wounded and crushed, dying on the side of the road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the Holy Spirit. He shed his blood on the cross. Why? Because he cared. Sometimes when parents are tired, and I know there was definitely times I felt like this, and you've had a bad day, a parent might cry out, what more do you want from me? Do you want me to lay down here and die? Do you want the last drop of blood from my body? And isn't it interesting that Jesus came? And he served and he loved and he cared. And he did lay down his life. And he did give the last drop of blood from his body. Because he is someone who truly cared. The last element is the whole area of cost. The Samaritan displays everything necessary to express compassion. Compassion that understands paying the cost. Because he gave of his time. He gave of his energy. And he gave of his money. Everything that could express what cost is expressed by this Samaritan. He didn't love from a distance. He got off his donkey. He dirtied his hands. He paid the price. To follow Jesus is to cross divides of race and politics and class with compassion that actually costs us something. He met the cost, whatever the cost, and he met it and he covered it. And from beginning to end, the Samaritan had it covered. He had it covered personally. He had it covered interpersonally. He had it covered physically with help and getting down there and getting, as I say, his hands dirty. He had it covered with regards to finding a place to take the injured party. He had it covered with regards to the cost of what it was to stay in that inn and to receive food and a bed. He had it covered even in his absence when he had to get back to work and get back to what he was doing and saying, I'll fix up with you if there's any excess cost. He had it covered. Verse 35 said, the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to innkeeper. Look after them, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Lord, why are you giving us parables that challenge us so much, Lord? Lord, why didn't you kind of make it that, like he brought them to an easy hotel and, you know, he got a room for 30 euro for the night. And he said, look, if he wakes up and he's hungry, just give him a slice of toast. Like, why didn't you make it easier for us? Do you ever think why God is always like, there's more in you. I know there's more that can come out of you because I'm in you. These scriptures, you'd kind of love them to have been a bit more lighter. A bit lighter on the giving, the money and the loving and the, a bit lighter, Lord. And the Lord gives us no room to wiggle out of this. And he gives us no room to kind of go, I know from the Hebrew of that inn that it was a very cheap inn and there was fleas in the bed. So I know from the... He doesn't allow us any room other than to say that this man expressed extravagant love. Scriptures often depict God as a provider. Our covering, who offers protection, comfort, and shelter from harm. What a father we serve on this Father's Day. And you're made in his image. You're a king's kid. God has it covered. He sent his son to pay the price for our sins. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He has paid for our passage to heaven. Praise the Lord. He has paid by his death on the cross for our wounds and poured in the oil and the wine. He has invited us to a feast that will never end. And for all the food and the fellowship we will enjoy forever, God says, I've got the tab, I've got it covered. There's nothing that he hasn't got covered. And this is our God. Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength and ever present. Other translations say a very present help in trouble. Romans 8, verse 37 and 39, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from this all-covering love of our God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These scriptures emphasize our Heavenly Father's role as our covering, as our refuge, as our strength, as our protector. God has this covered. God has you covered. Who can we cover this week? Who can we cover this week in love? Who can we cover this week in peace? Who can we cover this week in generosity? Who can we cover this week in grace? What a privilege and opportunity we have this week in these crazy days to be expressions of compassion. And so, my brothers and sisters, what's the take home? What are we to do? What are we to do with this? Sean, you seem to be a bit naggy today. You seem to be a bit off. No, it's like if we don't realize this message and this call to be the compassionate children of God, this world is doomed. And I'm not even exaggerating. If you operate under the law, it's tooth for a tooth, it's eye for an eye, it's retaliation, it's revenge. If you operate under the law, and that's going to mean that there'll be a lot of the world without any teeth and any sight. But when we function in the new covenant, it it's a totally different world. It's a totally different kingdom. It's a totally different way. It's the way of love. It's the way of compassion. It's the way of loving those who even hate us. Lord, I find it hard to say, Lord. Praying for our enemies, blessing those who are against us. But Jesus says, which of these three, the Samaritan, the priest, the Levite, which of these three, the priest that was going to church, the Levite that was going to chapel, the expert in the law that was going to Apex, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus says to us all, go and do likewise. Can we all stand? Worship team, can you join me? The word says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, thank you for Christianity. Thank you for this path. Because we also know from the Bible that we reap what we sow. And if we sow hatred, and if we sow violence, and if we sow anger, and if we sow law-filled opinions, that's what we're going to reap. That's what we're going to get. So, Lord, because we seek love, we will sow love. And because we seek peace, we will sow peace. And because, Lord, we are not of this world, but we are in this world, we will be, Lord God, by the Holy Spirit's power and by your grace, the best representations of care and compassion that we can possibly be, because that is the call that was on you as you came to us and that you've passed on to us. And so God, in Jesus' name, on this Father's Day, we celebrate the greatest Father of all. And our Father, you are in heaven, and we hallow your name. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom would come. Your kingdom of love and grace and healing. Your kingdom would come in St. Mark's, in Dublin, on earth, as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day, Jesus. Give us this day more of Jesus. He is our daily bread. And Lord, forgive us our trespasses and our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And Lord, lead us. But God, please, we don't want to be led into any more temptation. We're sick of the world. Lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, we need you. God, we cry out to you. God, we want to represent you. God, we want to image you. God, we're up to the task. We're up to the adventure because we are filled with your spirit. We have the good book. We have a community of faith. And Lord, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And so God, in Jesus' name, I pray that the law will fall off you. I pray that the religion will come out of you in Jesus' name. And I pray in Jesus' name that every single one of us will leave this place lovers of people, lovers of the Lord, and in love with the word of God that is freeing and blessing. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We adore you, we worship you, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.